The NFL draft is almost here, and we want to help you take advantage from a betting perspective. We break down the markets and give our top picks next on the IBT podcast.
Because I've been in tune, out of touch, coming off the bench, trying to shake the funk, check your stat line, see who's up, that over-under hit too clutch.
And I'm trying to avoid getting carried away with the Jets, we sleeping on a trick play, predicting all of my moves like they seen every play, so I'm running it back, head down, get out of my way, and it's for the law with only one thing to do, I guess I'll say a prayer and put it all on the line. But they don't know something they haven't seen. I find a gap on the screen and hit them right in between. Yeah, I got it. And I got it. Just one thing to say. Yeah, but they don't know something they haven't seen. I'm off that mean Joe Green. It got me fading in between. Yeah, I got it. In Between Fantasy Football Podcast.
All right. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, and the good times roll on here in Between Media. Thanks for tuning into our flagship program, the IBT Podcast, as the NFL draft quickly approaches. My name is Seth Wilcock, and tonight I'm joined by the boys back in town. It's Texas native, married to Philly's finest college basketball savant, fantasy football wizard, Eric Romoff. Eric, how we doing today, bro?
What's up, brothers? Tuesday. We're vibing tonight, talking a little NFL draft, coming to you from the backup studio. So looking forward to mixing things up on tonight's show.
Absolutely, man. Pleasure to have you here. And we're also joined by a gentleman who has kind of become known as the heel of this particular program. Dude drove over 3 hours one way to post up at a DK Sportsbook to get his NFL draft bets in. Hoove, how are you doing, my friend? I'm about to do the same this weekend, man.
The heel of the IBT podcast.
Harsh.
I don't know how I feel about that. That's tough because deep down, I'm a sweetheart. But you know, sweethearts might have an abrasive side. So you know what? It's on, ladies and gentlemen. I put my bets out to the test. I'll put my bets on the line and I'll bet against anybody because we're going to win some money. I'm going to tell you my bets today. And I swear, if I can lock this down, I've been focused on the draft for way too long to get this wrong. So here we go. All right.
And as Hoove is previewing there, like, we are going to talk about our favorite draft picks tonight. We're also going to talk about the betting market as a whole, break that down and all the offerings and where we think the most value is, because I love betting on the NFL draft, man. I think it is one of the best markets to bet on out there in the NFL scene. One of my biggest money makers each and every year. So I'll be down heavy. I'm actually going to be traveling down to Maryland this weekend to meet up with our boy Herms, one of our fantasy football industry friends. We're going to post up somewhere. We're going to play some bets, get a little dinner, get a couple brews. So I'm excited for it. Also joining us tonight, covering our sixes as always, a guy who, talk about a transition and a heel turn. This guy's a full yinzer now. He's taken down Iron City Tall Boys and Pierogi Hot Dogs every single night at PNC Park. He's producer Kyle Scott. Kyle, how are we doing tonight, man?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. Not feeling any withdrawal from the icy light, I'll tell you that much. Not from the icy heavy either. We're pounding them because the Pirates are good. And, hockey season's over. So screw it. It's good.
Boys, it is a great time to be a baseball fan because finally Kyle and I's favorite, well, my favorite team, one of Kyle's favorite teams, I guess, is finally good. So race the Jolly Roger, Kyle. Race the Jolly Roger. This is our year. All the way, baby. And let's go ahead and let's thank the IBT family for rolling in with us as well. Greatly appreciate them. We got Scott hanging out with us already. Hey. What's up, Scott? Good to see you, man. And Katie, good evening, gents. Thank you, Katie. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Guys, we have a couple news items we want to throw out there as well. We are going to be doing some giveaways here in the next couple of weeks. To celebrate 1,000 subscribers, we're going to be giving away a Frank Gore jersey. So let us know in the chat if you are subscribed on YouTube, and also to our newsletter, which I'll put in the chat now. And also I'll make sure I have it in the comments. So make sure you guys are subscribed. Eric's hooking up us up with a Frank Gore signed jersey. Oh yeah, we got it there. Hoof, you gotta love some Frank Gore, am I right?
I'm kind of disappointed. It's not a Colts one, you know.
Oh,
also no. Hall of Fame Colts one. I'm thinking half Colt, half Niner, and then like I'm really excited because now we're talking about Frank Gore Jr.
and we're gonna enjoy this wherever his kid Frank gets Gore.
Born. Yeah, I'm excited. I'll be putting my name in the hat. You guys don't think that this is just going to the subscribers. I subscribe too, damn it. Okay, so I'm throwing my name in there, and it'll be right behind me. All right, so.
And
honestly, truthfully, let's give it to someone that is very deserving. You know, we appreciate you all. So.
And I promise you, too, our newsletter is not going to spam you. We're not going to send you shit all the time. We're not going to be in your inbox constantly. We send you one weekly during the NFL season, and then we'll also send you one occasionally here in the offseason as well. So no pressure. But if you guys do want to get in on the Frank Gore signed jersey, Eric, all they got to do is subscribe to the newsletter and the YouTube. And just let us know in the chat by saying sub. That's all you have to do, and Kyle will note it down.
Man, hands down, like not to toot our own horn, the IBT newsletter is one of the best ones out there, right? Like if you've been following us for a while, you know that we're pushing out content left and right, and we're essentially curating the best, the newest, the most potent content across the entire IBT universe into that newsletter. So it's a real good way to kind of get that quick digest if you're not going to have some time to scroll all the way through the sites. It's one of my favorite ones to receive.
I appreciate that, man. And also, we're doing a Taysom Hill jersey giveaway for the first 100 Draft Night Out tickets sold. We're at 50 right now, so we're halfway there. There it is. If you want the utility monster, all you got to do, get in on Draft Night Out. If you guys are going to be at the Fantasy Football Expo, if you've never even heard of the Fantasy Football Expo, it's a big expo where thousands of fantasy football and sports betting enthusiasts gather in Canton, Ohio, for the summer. It will be 3 days of, what is it, like August 10th through 13th? 9th through 12th? Sorry, not marketing. I know our event is on the 10th. I think our event is on August 10th. But we're renting out a 2-floor bar. We were there last year. We got a patio. We got 2 bars on both floors and about 12 live drafts popping off. So if you guys want to hang out with us, get a little beer in you, get a little whiskey, get some really good food. Hoove, I'd say the Brew Kettle is some of the best food I've ever had. And that's not even trying to plug them. But we went there and I was – that was best coleslaw in my life. I like to rank things. Katie gets pissed at me because I love to rank my food. I have a list for everything. That was the best coleslaw I've ever had, hands down. Brew Kettle, Canton, Ohio.
I kind of want to pick into the whole like ranking thing a little more before we move on to that. What, like, do you go to different places and then like you sit down and then you start talking about like, okay, this burger like compared to Arby's is like there, because I get where Katie's coming from. I get where Katie's coming from.
Like, it's not like I have a running list somewhere, but I have it all up in the dome. And like it's not like the whole time I'm like, okay, this is a 4. Like, it's not like I'm doing that. It's not like I'm putting out content for this. I'm just sitting there. And when I finish my meal, I'll say, yeah, I think that was like the number 4 best cheesesteak I've ever had or something like that. Like,
That's wild. The fact that you're like, this is 4. Like, you're not like, this is the best Philly cheesesteak I've ever had. Like, dude, you can be in the really a good mood for it and be like, wow, this thing is smacking. I've never been like, wow, this is the 8th best Subway sandwich I've ever put off their menu. That's crazy.
Part of me is terrified at the idea that that's just how you proceed through life. Like, I think this is a solid 6th on the list. But secondarily, those blind rank TikToks are easily the most consumed content in my entire feed. Oh. Where it'll give you like a list of like 5 foods, you don't know what's next, and you have to rank them 1 through 5. That is very much so the type of TikTok hole that I find myself going down. So maybe we're not so different, you and I.
We got Scott in the chat saying, I had my 12th best burger in Vegas last week. My memory isn't, I can't really go past 10 for most things. So the fact that you have 12,
dude,
Scott,
I think you're lying right now. I don't think you can keep a running list of 4 or 5.
No, I got it.
There's so many different food categories out there. You're gonna have sets of 5+ on each one.
Not for every food, only foods I really like.
You said coleslaw is number one at Brew Kettle.
Yeah.
What is your 9th favorite coleslaw?
I'm actually newer to the coleslaw scene. Boom. So
what's your 4th favorite coleslaw?
Name any other coleslaw.
Okay.
Yeah, rank your coleslaws.
Okay. That one's coleslaw. Number 1, Brew Kettle. Number 2, Permane Brothers. Number 3, Steel City Sandwiches. Number 4, Annie's Coleslaw. Number 5, the other one also at my deli, but not Annie's Coleslaw. Number 6, Wise Coleslaw. Number 7, Bag Aldi Coleslaw. All right. Yeah.
I stand corrected.
My guy's got prepared. Coleslaw in his locker.
There we go. I don't know if I said it before I got into the coleslaw discussion, but we got Albert in the chat as well. Good to see you, Albert. Thanks for tuning in, buddy. We appreciate it. But yeah, pretty much how that whole conversation got started. If you guys want to eat some awesome fucking coleslaw, hang out with us and our entire staff and 200 of our closest friends in Canton, Ohio. Get a draft night out ticket. It's on the website right now. It's in the description of this episode. And then you can come hang out. You can get entered for the Taysom Hill jersey if you're one of the first 100 tickets sold. We're halfway there. All right. So, all right, guys. I think that's about it, though. Let's go ahead and jump into the NFL draft and everything we got cooking out there from a betting perspective here in between bets. All right, it's between bets. We're going to break down our best picks and the entire markets. We have our tool over here at Betting Pro. Shout out to Betting Pros. I'm lucky to be a staff member over there. Do a lot of editing and writing for them. So greatly appreciate this tool for them because there's not a whole lot of them right now, Eric, that has like a whole odds board that we can track different books here. And we can also track various markets as well.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to come by. I mean, everything in this regard is hard to come by for me because I live in the hellhole that is the state of Texas. but if this sort of market isn't available in the state that you reside in, you can't even peruse it on your betting app, right? So super helpful to have all this compiled with Betting Pros, as has become kind of the industry standard. You have the full swath of different providers and books that you can actually place this bet on. And there's some interesting arbitrage here, right? There's been some line movement you can track. There's a couple of soft spots that you can take advantage of between one book and another. So yes, definitely have the full array of weapons at your disposal for this one.
Yes, absolutely agreed. And Eric, curious, Hoove, you went to what state to try to place bets last week? What was it?
Illinois.
Illinois. Okay, so you went to Illinois. I'm going to Maryland this week because PA has sports betting but doesn't have NFL draft betting. Wisconsin doesn't have betting in general. Eric, where would be the closest state for you in San Antonio? Would you go to Mexico? Would that be the closest?
Yeah, actually, Mexico would probably be the closest by like 45 minutes. You can do some sports betting in Louisiana. The fastest path there from San Antonio is about 5 hours. I think Oklahoma recently legalized it, but that's a longer stretch, right? I'm looking at closer to like 8 hours to get up to the Okies.
Okay. So guys, we're gonna look at various markets here. We're gonna look at different overall picks. We're gonna look at to be a top five pick, first drafted at the position, total of a position drafted, draft round, and also position of a first player by team. We'll go ahead and break it down. Let's start with the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth overall pick. Is there anything you guys found in this? Because this is one of those markets that, especially this year with the first overall pick being so juiced and even the second overall pick now becoming so juiced with Jaden Daniels all the way at minus 270. Like every pick kind of feels a bit chalky at this point. Eric, did you find any value in 1 through 5 at all?
Yeah, there's a couple of spots in the top five that I think are interesting. You know, generally speaking, with draft bets, I like to chase some longer odds, right? It almost reminds me of bets kind of against the field, right? So
yeah.
Anytime that you've got that much variance in your wager, I usually go for something that can pay me off if it hits. One thing that immediately jumped off the page to me, Malik Nabers to go number 4 overall. There's a plus 1900 price tag on that. And as you start to think about it, sort of regardless of order, most people feel pretty confident that we're looking at quarterbacks 1, 2, and 3. And then at 4, it seems like there's an increasing likelihood that Arizona actually sticks and picks in that spot, and they're very likely to go wide receiver. And if you look over, like, even just like the expert mock draft marketplace, it feels like as of this week, 1 in 4, 1 in 5 experts actually have Malik Nabers going ahead of Maserati Marv, right? So to be able to, you know, take advantage of that 1 in 5 shot but get paid out 19-1 on your wager, you know, I think that it's one that has a pretty nice price tag, and I wouldn't mind speculating with it.
I'm putting all of our bets on the ticker right now. This is Eric's card that's going across, and we'll filter him through so you can get every pick that we're going to be down on this week. Moving forward here, who is there anything else you found in the 1 through 5 pick market?
1 through 5, there's a few good ones I got. Let's go to 3rd overall. I want to check that one out. So we got the Patriots right here. And same thing with Eric. You know, you want to go for a little more bang for your buck. Right now we got Drake May as the overall favorite. You're not going to be making much money off of that. But
sure.
Jaden Daniels, to most people, he is the consensus QB2 in this draft. And that you're probably looking at him going to the Commanders and then looking between Drake May and JJ McCarthy. If you're one to follow storylines, not recent storylines, because we know that those are the ones that are trying to throw off the scent, but original storylines, is that they wanted Jaden Daniels to fall, is that they really weren't interested in Drake May. And so I really like JJ McCarthy at plus 350 to finally jump Drake May. And you guys can look back all the way to December 26th, our episode where I talked about JJ McCarthy overlapping Drake May in the rankings. And I think it finally happens. I think that it's going to be a hard legacy for him to fill, being a Michigan quarterback, going to the Patriots with everything that Tom did. But I think that that's one reason why that he's just a winner. And Drake May, he is a project still. I think that he's Baker Mayfield. But Baker was a project for a lot of years until he finally developed that. But he has a big arm and he's a starting quarterback. But I think that JJ McCarthy, that you're showing that he's like a Kyle Shanahan style quarterback, and that the way that the league is moving, that they're looking for more Brock Purdy's, more guys like JJ McCarthy. So I think that he finally jumps it, because you know that you can probably win now in the NFL with JJ McCarthy at the quarterback position. So that's my pick at plus 350, JJ McCarthy to the Patriots.
And I think the interesting way to attack this is if you do think a team is going to take JJ McCarthy in the top 5 picks. I think there's different ways to hedge with this, because you could also go right now JJ McCarthy for you know, maybe a little less of a unit and go plus 340 for him to be the 4th overall pick. And there's also the JJ McCarthy to be a top 5 pick. That's been kind of nuked down and it's pretty juiced at this point, minus 175. So you probably don't really want to be investing there. But like, keep in mind, Eric, you only drink the juice if you lose.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And apparently I'm the contrarian voice of the three of us. I've got on my card JJ McCarthy to go over pick 5.5 for plus 120. It's really more about the overall market and the price tag there, right? Like for me, I feel like if we walk down the path that you're laying out, Hoove. I think it's much more likely that the Patriots move that pick so someone can go get Drake May than actually stick and draft J.J. McCarthy, right? It seems like where we're sitting right now, mostly the Patriots and the Broncos seem to be the two most vocal or these highly reported on teams that are looking at J.J. McCarthy. So I think with that being kind of his market of suitors, there are so many different ways to get into the sixth spot, the ninth spot, the 10th spot to draft him and not have to, you know, take that very early first round draft capital in the third overall pick. So like that, I'm getting a little bit of plus money with McCarthy. You know, 5.5 is still a fantastic number for him, right? This is a guy that wasn't on many people's first round radars heading into the offseason and certainly not into the season last year. So has earned his way up the board. I like getting the plus money at over 5.5. Also sticking right around this fifth pick, I've actually got Roma Dunze as a top five pick at plus 1600. This is a bit of a hedge from my prior bet as well, right? You know, if we don't have Malik Nabers going, there's a very high likelihood that it's Marvin Harrison Jr. And at that point, you're looking at a legitimate toss up with the Chargers at five between Nabers and Roma Dunze. I tend to believe that they're probably looking at a little bit more of a first down maker and, you know, kind of in the mold of Keenan Allen, who they lost this offseason. So Roma Dunze sitting there with, in my mind, a 50-50 shot to be the second wide receiver off the board. Getting that at plus 1600 feels like an awesome price tag as well.
We got Scott in the chat saying you could say the same thing about the Cardinals. If they want Nabers, they could potentially trade back from four. Sure. And also, this is something I did want to bring up, Hoove. The Commanders, like there's a lot of smoke screens right now here in the early first round. The Commanders brought in all four of these quarterbacks for a visit here at the same time. Pretty kind of a strange situation seems like brewing out there for the number two pick. So a lot of smoke right now at 2, 3, 4 with these quarterbacks. What's your take on it, Hoove?
My rebuttal to what Eric originally said is that it opens up a lot of things, is that if the Patriots like J.J. McCarthy more than Drake May, is that you're hearing, why would the Vikings give up two first round picks to go get J.J. McCarthy, the fourth best quarterback? But if Drake May slides, that gives them incentive to trade up with the Cardinals to go up to four, and the Cardinals move back to 11. So that's why it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you have the Chargers with the first overall pick or the first overall pick after all the quarterbacks go. So we just talked about Malik Nabers going fourth. I think that if we can go to number five, fifth overall, I just want to see what it is.
Yeah, Nabers right now sitting at plus 275 right now. I think that's Bet Rivers. Yeah, Bet Rivers plus 275 for Nabers to go fifth.
All right, so I wish that you could get some money off of trades because I would throw this in here too. We'll talk about it on Who's Mock Draft. I'll sprinkle in a little nugget, but let's talk about how the Chargers are probably going to move back from this pick. And I have the Bears moving up from 9 to get Marvin Harrison, and the Chargers moving back to 9 to get Brock Bowers. So we'll talk about that in a second with the money with that. But Marvin Harrison being the first wide receiver off the board at 5 to the Bears, you link up Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison at plus 300. Give me that. So I took that bet down in Illinois this last weekend at plus, I think it was plus 300 as well.
I think it's interesting that bet, Hoove, and that strategy. I tend to, like, yes, I think we have to factor in trades, but I don't bet the market hoping there's a trade, Eric. I think that's the one, like, Hoove, you're confident, you're our mock drafter here, so, like, it makes sense that you're going to take your shot like that. I tend to believe, like, there might be a little more sticking in the first round, especially, like, from the Chargers, who they need an elite playmaker, and I think they have to stay there to get it.
Well, then either way, that still works because that would be I think the reason why the betting odds go this way is that Malik Nabers being fifth overall pick is that they think Marvin's going to go four and that Malik will be the second wide receiver off the board. So if Marvin's still there at five, because there's four quarterbacks that went straight, you're getting plus money on Marvin Harrison being the first wide receiver off the board.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's go to be a top five pick. Was there anything you guys really liked in this, this market? I didn't find a lot of value in it here. I know we already kind of touched on potentially Malik Nabers or Rome's Odunze at 16-1, and then Malik at plus 160. Would those be your only bets you think here in this market, Eric?
Where we sit right now, yeah. The ones that I talked about are the ones that yeah. catch my eye. This top five market in particular is it feels kind of tight, right? Like I found myself shading towards more of the first type of player off the yeah. board, or more towards the, you know, exact pick yeah. destination than, sure. than actually looking at this top five overall market. Cause I think we've got a pretty clear bunching of really like six, maybe seven guys that can go in that top five. And yeah. that's kind of dragging down the price tag on all of them on this particular wager.
Completely agreed. Let's go to first running back drafted. And this is where I think is another place you can kind of hedge yourself a little bit and make profit. It's not going to be a huge profit you can turn, but Trey Benson right now, who showed out at the combine, I don't think any of us expected him to be as fast as he is with his size as well from Florida State. You can get him right now right around +210 at some shops. And then Jonathan Brooks, who it seems like one of these two guys are the top two running backs here at +240. I'm going to take a little stab at both once I get down to Maryland this weekend. That's going to be my bet, like probably half a unit on each and try to profit something here, Eric.
Yeah, I don't mind it, right? Those are the two clear 1 and 1A options kind of by consensus, right? So being able to get both of them at that price tag, you know, obviously you're going to kind of cap your earnings because only one of sure. them can go first overall, but sure. you know, north of +200 on each of them, you can more than make that up. So definitely like that approach. I'm speculating a little bit in the running back market as well, much, much deeper pull. Not a specific name, but there's a +1200 line out there for the number of first round running backs to be over 0.5, essentially any running back to go in the first round. Look, the running back market in the NFL today has told us that it is probably very unlikely that that's going to happen. And, you know, looking at the class, you know, no one really has a clear first round grade on any of these guys. But, you know, I think it really only takes one team with, I don't know, like an aging billionaire owner who likes to splash around in the running back market to, you know, pay off that kind of quarter unit type of bet. So, like those two names to be the, you know, one of the first two to come off the board, and don't mind, you know, putting a quarter, a half unit on that +1200 line for someone to fall in love and take one of them in the first round.
Let's be honest too. There have been multiple years where we didn't think any running backs were going to go in the first round, and CEH snuck his way into the tail end in 2020. And then not that long ago as well, like last year, nobody had Jahmyr Gibbs going in the top 15 and, or the top 20, even. Like, he was a borderline first round pick for a lot of people, I think. So yeah, I'm absolutely, I think it's worth I think it's worth a little stab at yeah,
floated, right?
Yeah.
That's +350. That's question.
Yeah. Scott's asking Blake Corum's odds to be the first running back drafted. Yeah. That's, yep. 5-1, actually. You can get him 5-1 over at Bet Rivers. So, Corum would be the one that would scare me, I think, Hoove. Corum would be the only one. We're getting a lot of Charger signals potentially out there. But I think, other than that, I feel good with Benson and Brooks.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, I'm doing that too. There's some bets that I had that kind of counter one another out. But, you know, for the right money, like, you could throw $5 down on a bet that's going to make you in more profit than the one you throw less money down on. So, yeah, I'm here for it.
So I'm looking right now at the first wide receiver draft. And the only thing I think you could even potentially factor that you would maybe want to put anything on would be Malik Nabers over Harrison Jr. But I'm not going that far down that rabbit hole. I'm not investing in that theory, especially at 4-1. I just don't think that if it was still up at 8-1, 9-1, I think maybe you could. But it's since got a lot shorter to close. So
that that particular bet is how I landed on my Malik Nabers at fourth overall line, right? Because you're getting that at plus 1900, which is ostensibly the same bet as Malik Nabers as the first wide receiver off the board, right? So one of the areas where you can take advantage of the variety of markets if you feel like speculating.
Yeah, great call out there. First tight end drafted, not going to be anything there. Brock Bowers obviously going to go there. But first cornerback drafted, I think some very interesting odds here, man. I was expecting Nate Wiggins to be a lot shorter after what he did at the combine. His odds are 25-1 right now for Nate Wiggins. Like, there's a lot of value right here. Cooper DeJean 13-1. How did you see this cornerback market breaking down?
I actually really like the cornerback market. I took a flyer on Terry and Arnold. I put $5 down on him at 170. Just kind of reading the reports on like who's all been interested in Terry and Arnold and like what they're getting out of him. I get it. Like, Quinyon Mitchell, he's super exciting and he's super fast, but I think that you're kind of just hoping that I don't think he fits like to the Broncos or the Raiders or someone in that tier. I think you're hoping that the Falcons just go cornerback instead of edge if he's going to be the first one off the board. And I just don't see that happening. So I think that he slides and he'll be the second one because Terry and Arnold, he's just a proven commodity at this point. Like, he is going to be good at the next level. And I have him actually being a top 12 pick in my mock draft. So depending on who potentially trades up to get him or where he lands, that's up to you guys to read and find out. But at plus 170, Terry and Arnold, gimme, gimme.
Eric, you're a big cornerback guy, man. You study cornerbacks weekly during the NFL season. Do you see any value here potentially for DeJean or Wiggins? DeJean lit up his pro day after not testing at the combine. Wiggins lit up the combine. Any value on them? It wasn't that long ago as well that Khalid McKinstry was projected to be potentially the first corner. He's since fallen, and his teammate Arnold has rose up the board. So are you taking more of the juice here? Mitchell's obviously kind of become the favorite over the last couple of weeks here. How does it shake out for you, you think?
Yeah, you know, I think the way that the prices are laid out, you know, clearly demonstrates there's a tier break after these first two. I'm in lockstep with you, Hoove. Like, I think Arnold is far more likely to be the first overall player off the board, at least in terms of drafted at his position. So getting that at plus 175, especially after the line opened at plus 115, right? Like, Mitchell has put on an absolute clinic in terms of his draft performance and or his pro day performance and his combine performance. But I mean, there are legitimate questions about the quality of competition that he was facing at Toledo. And I think that's just enough to move him down the board, especially when you consider these price tags, like laying minus 145 for what should really be a coin flip is usually not a bet that's going to win you much money over the long run.
I think there was three picks that divided them in my mock draft. So very, very close in tier. There's not a cornerback one in this draft, like a Sauce Gardner or a Devin Witherspoon or anything like that. So yeah, Terry Arnold at a coin flip. Gimme.
Okay. All right. I like the call there a lot. Anything else here in the first market, whether that's first offensive lineman, first defensive player drafted, anything that you guys are seeing value in? Because Joe Alt seems like the chalk here for the first offensive lineman. So I don't really think we need to dive too far into that. And then first defensive player here, Dallas Turner getting the looks. Minus 115, though, this is one I don't mind playing the favorite and taking some juice here, really.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas Turner. I at one point, I think Jared Verse is going to be electric at the next level. He was a huge contributor, a part of Florida State being undefeated this last year, and he was projected around like 16. So the fact that he was a part of that, I thought that he was going to boost his way all the way up in the top 10, but just the way that this draft stock has been, it's kind of keep his stock a little higher than it was last year, but still like not in the top 10. So Dallas Turner, I think that he's proven that he is probably going to be the first edge rusher off the board.
Eric, any difference from you in first defensive player drafted?
No, I think it is going to be Turner. I don't mind. So, like, Hoove, you've done a great job of this with your overall list of bets, where, like, there's a very clear storyline or narrative that you're following, right? If this, then that, and all of your bets are supporting each other in that way. So going back to our prior conversation, you want to talk about Mitchell being, you know, minus 145 odds to be the first cornerback off the board. You can get him at plus 2000 to be the first defensive player off the board, right? We know that, especially in the, you know, in the early part of the first round, teams in today's NFL are looking for those, you know, those benchmark type positions, quarterback, edge rusher, cornerback. So non-zero chance that we see Mitchell slide his way up as the first defensive player off the board. So to get that at plus 2000 is interesting. And I like the call out on Verse, right? You know, a player that 6-7 weeks ago was in the conversation for first edge and first defensive player off the board, now sitting third in that regard, plus 450 is a good price for that.
Love it. Love it.
And Leiatu Latu, like, as talented as he is, the fact that he had to medically retire, that I don't want to knock a player for something like that, because obviously he's back and, like, you want to root for him, but you also have to, like, factor in that you're going to be paying this player a lot of money, and that is, like, a potential red flag for a player, for a franchise. And I think that his draft stock might take a dip out of that, but I still think he's a first round draft pick for sure, and he'll earn that bag that way. But him being the first edge rusher off the board, that's tough.
I was shocked to see him with the second shortest odds. I thought he would be closer to fifth because of those metaphors.
I thought.
That's essentially what's drawing Michael Penix down as we maybe shift gears to the QB market, right? Like,
yeah,
teams get real twitchy about those dicey medicals when they're spending first round capital on a player.
Yeah.
So
it's a toss up between him and Chop for me. Like, Chop's speed has been awesome to witness for sure.
So looking at the total quarterbacks drafted market, I think if you're playing something here, you should be taking the plus money under 4.5. Like, I don't think there's a lot of value in this market, though, in general. Like, I don't think this is probably something I really want to dabble in. Because I do actually probably think, like, I think Michael Penix is probably going in the first round. And, like, I actually have Penix on my card to go under 32.5 plus 120. So I can't take as short of the odds as minus 180 to lay that juice. So if you want to hedge yourself a little bit, I guess you could take the under 4.5. But I'm expecting someone to bite on Michael Penix, guys. I really am. I think someone's going to want to get back in that conversation and try to scoop up the quarterback here. We don't know what the medicals are. That's kind of what you're gambling here. But, I mean, hell, man, he's getting calls from Washington right now. Like, you know, like, it's got to be sending some signals, man.
I think Penix's game, it's one of the more NFL ready out of this year's class, right? I mean, he's clearly not in that top tier, but the medicals are dragging him down. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see, like, a super polarized range in terms of where QBs go in this draft, right? I think we're going to look at 1 through 4 coming off the board in the top, like, 6 or 7, and then literally nobody until somebody trades into the 32nd pick so they can get Penix on that fifth year rookie option, right? So this line is super sharp. I'd probably walk away from it overall, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a team get a little itchy for that extra year in the first round rookie contract with Penix.
Yep. And looking at the total wide receivers market in round one, I think the over at plus 185, I think that's a great line, man. When you look at this and you look at the teams that really need wide receivers, there's a ton of them in the first round, the back end of the first round as well. I counted 10 or 11 teams that I could see taking a wide receiver in the first round. You're kind of betting on whether it would be Troy Franklin or Ladd McConkey to scoot up into there in the first round. We have both the Texas wide receivers. We have Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. And then we have Roma Dunze and and Marvin Harrison Jr. as well. So there's kind of that bunch. And then it's Troy Franklin and Ladd McConkey. Can one of them scoot in? And I think the Bills might be pressured into taking wide receiver. The Chiefs are at the end of the first round, who they're going to be pressured into taking wide receiver. And same with the 49ers, man. We don't know what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. So, yeah, I think the over here makes a lot of sense. Who? How do you feel about it?
I think that that's a logical reason to bet the over, especially for the money that it's worth. I wouldn't bet a lot down on it. But I don't know. I'm starting to lean more towards Bo Nix might sneak in as well. I think towards the end, like, you should factor in the Lions are looking for a wide receiver. Maybe they could end up trading down for a team like the Broncos. The Broncos don't even have a second round pick.
So you think one of these wide receiver needy teams could trade back into the second round and then it kind of busts this bet if someone wants to trade up for Knicks?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be some teams that want to trade down just because there's so much value that teams can move up. And I think that that can be like why if that quarterback bet was at 5.5, oh man, I would have loved to see the money on that. Because everyone would have bet the under, and I would have just taken a stab on Bo Nix sneaking in. And I think the team could move down, and you could see Bo Nix creep his way in. So wide receivers, there's going to be so many good wide receivers in this draft. And I think that's the reason why some could take a hit. Like, if they're not special, they're not going top one.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. I went on a similar roller coaster ride with this bet in particular, right? Like, I sought it out specifically because – there are probably close to 10 guys that I think are, you know, at least defendable to make as a first round selection. But then as I started going through the names and thinking about, you know, where they might actually fall in this draft, I feel like there's a pretty clear tier break after six, right? Like, you're looking at very capable incoming receivers, but 7 through 15 are incrementally within arm's reach of one another. And at that point, if someone's thinking about taking the 7th guy off the board in the first round, they can probably talk themselves into number 12, number 14 being available to them in the second round.
Mm-hmm. I'd bet it's 4. I'd bet it's Marvin, Malik, Rome, and then Brian Thomas. And then if those were the like only wide receivers that went in the first round, like, a lot of people would be surprised. I honestly wouldn't be that surprised.
I've got A.D. Mitchell going to Buffalo specifically. But after that, I think it's a toss-up, right? So this actually feels like an under now that we talk through it.
You might be shocked on draft day.
Any of these other total numbers drafted in the first round that you guys saw value in? I have nothing else left on my card for this market here.
Not in the totals, no.
Okay. Let's go ahead to over-unders on player draft position. I think this is a really great market. This is usually one of my favorite every single year, and we're getting more and more offerings. Caesars kind of leading the way, so shout out to Caesars. We appreciate them. Let's see. I have Michael Penix Jr. under 32.5. I talked about that one already. Like Penix to potentially sneak into the first round there. I also like Jared Verse under 15.5. I think Jared Verse at a fine price tag, taking a little bit of juice at minus 120, but I think Jared Verse, who I don't know if you have him near top 15 of your mock draft, but I think there's a lot of teams there in the early teens, late single digits that could sneak up and get Verse.
I really want to talk about the potential for Verse. There's like two landing spots I think that make the most sense, but I think that we have to talk about, I have to talk about one thing before we can get to that because it opens things up. Can we scroll to the top real quick?
Sure.
All right, it's at 15.5, so I'll keep that in mind. All right. So Brock Bowers I have made a bet for exact draft position. I don't know if you have that. We don't have to go to it right now, but it's at +1400 for him to go 9th overall. Now that alone has so many opportunities because Brock Bowers, people are like projecting him to go to the Colts or a team, but he is a high commodity. In my opinion, he is a top 10 draft pick, and a team will move up to solidify getting Brock Bowers. And with him more than likely being mocked to the Jets in a lot of people's eyes, the Bears, that second first round pick could be a prime come get Brock Bauer spot. So either like I was alluding to earlier with Marvin Harrison, the Bears moving up to get him, and then the Chargers drafting Brock Bowers where they can get an offensive lineman and a receiver for Justin Herbert and Bowers. Like at for him under 11.5 at plus 130, I'll take that. I'll take that. I think that he's a top 10 draft pick. So I'll take that right there. But then even when you're talking about
Jared Verse,
well, if you're talking about the Colts, like at 15, they're probably not going to get him, but if they really want him, they could move up to 9 to get Brock Bowers. And then the Bears are sitting at 15. And that's someone that I've also heard that the Bears are completely interested in is Jared Verse. So I think there's a reason why he's mocked at 15, whether that's the Colts, whether that's the Bears. I could see him going to the Raiders. I could see him going to the Broncos at 12. So there's like three teams I really think that Jared Verse could go to, and I think they're all in the top 15. So I'll take the under on that as well for Jared Verse.
Eric, your thoughts on Brock Bowers over under? Because I'll be honest, that's a number I looked at for a long time. I said, man, I think Brock Bowers could maybe, you know, at least get into the top 11. The Jets were getting a lot of traction for him earlier. Do you feel the same?
So it's tricky with Bowers, right? Because I think if you look at him as a prospect, he's pretty well inside the top 10 for just
about everyone. Dude did a backflip. Did you see the backflip on Twitter today? Oh my God.
And look, like that backflip is going to come in handy when he's running through the secondary, right? Like big time on-field application for the backflip. But all joking aside, like he's a phenomenal prospect. And I think he's inside the top 10 in that regard in this class. But there's an economic consideration here, right? Like, you know, you talk about the rookie pay scale. A guy going inside the top 10 is going to make north of $22 million on that contract, whereas the franchise tag valuation for a tight end is like $13, $14 million, right? So, like, you know, yes, there are a couple of teams that are probably going to take a look at themselves and say, am I a tight end away from being in contention? And I think those are your most likely earlier landing spots. But absent of that, I think front offices are going to look at the value or kind of the lack thereof that they're getting in that rookie pay scale for a tight end and say, you know, if we can get him around 15 where he'd be 17 million or 19 at 15.5 million, right? Like I think there's economic drivers that are going to pull him down the board, which is, it's going to be an interesting storyline to watch, right? Because from a talent standpoint, he should absolutely be inside the top 10.
Looks like we got Andrea hanging out with us. Good to see Andrea. Thanks for making time for us on your Tuesday evening here.
Back to Jared Verse then. I'm interested to see Eric's opinion on that at 15.5.
It feels about right. Honestly, I would probably walk away from that one. Okay. If I was backed into a corner, I think I would lean towards the under, to my point earlier, right? Like those kind of benchmark positions that teams drafting in the early part of the first round look for. He plays one of them, very well, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see someone fall in love and take him, you know, 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. But the price tag on it and where that number sits feels about right. So I'd probably just walk away.
He's going to be a New Orleans Saints, guys. He just, to me, looks like he's going to be Cameron Jordan's understudy. He's going to be the heir apparent to that role. So that's where I like him there. Like, I know the Raiders already have an absolutely sick front, but I could see them going out and just doing some crazy shit as well and potentially adding Verse as well. So, but you know, there are some interesting landing spots for him too. If he falls down the board, Seattle, Jacksonville. So you make a good point, Eric. Maybe something I will consider before I head down to Maryland.
What's Roma Dunze's?
Roma Dunze in this 8.5. Yeah. Yep. 8.5 plus 130 for the over. The under is minus 160. That's one I have no feel on that. I feel like I've seen a lot of mocks with him going 9 to the Bears. But I could also see maybe something else happening there. Hoove, what are your thoughts?
Let me talk to you. All right. So I alluded to it earlier, and I was saying, what if Drake May falls to 4, and that gives the Vikings a reason to trade up from 11 to go get Drake May, and then the Cardinals are sitting at 11. We've seen the Cardinals move down, move back up like they did with Paris Johnson Jr. So what if they're sitting at 11, they see Roma Dunze, or they see Malik Nabers go off the board to the Giants, and they move up in the they move up to the Falcons at 8, and they get Roma Dunze, and then the Falcons can move back 3 picks and still get Dallas Turner. Because then if it's really a toss-up to them between Dallas Turner and Jared Verse on who's the best edge rusher, they don't care if they get one of them at a cheaper rate. So I'll take that. Roma Dunze at under 8.5, being the 8th overall pick to the Cardinals. Gimme. So I'll take that too.
I've got a different path in terms of how I got there, but I like the under there as well. I mean, I put a card out there for him to go 5th overall to the Chargers, right? I would be shocked if he's on the board at 7 if New York lets him slide by, right? Like, they really need to, you know, try to get a clearer picture of what they have in Daniel Jones, so he needs a weapon there. Good point. So, yeah, I mean, if it's by trade, if it is, you know, more straight up, I think there are a number of different ways where you can see a Dunze landing inside the top 8.
Okay. I like the call out there. I also have Nate Wiggins under 26.5 for me, -115. The books don't really know where to go here on Nate Wiggins. I just don't think there is as many athletic cornerbacks in the league that people can just pass up a guy like Nate Wiggins and his stature. And there's a lot of cornerback needy teams kind of in that late mid to early 20s range. You got Philadelphia. They need to replace probably Bradbury soon. He's getting old as hell. Darius Slay's not getting any younger. Minnesota. How many times do we attack Minnesota's secondary last season? Dallas will be good. They don't need a cornerback. But Green Bay, like, Eric Stokes is not that guy. Rasul Douglas is traded. I could see Nate Wiggins being the perfect Green Bay Packer as well. So I like Nate Wiggins to potentially any of those teams. The Rams need a cornerback at 19. The Steelers could go away from offensive line at 20 as well. So I think Nate Wiggins' services are going to be well warranted. I'm going to take him -26.5 here at -115, boys. Giddy up.
I'm with you. But like when you're talking about the Packers, I think Nate Wiggins is gone before the Packers can pick.
That's okay, too. That's okay. That's all we need is -26.5, and we're good, man.
But I do like the idea of the Packers picking a cornerback in the first round with what is given to them at that point. So I'm with you. I like the way you're cooking that up. What about you, Eric?
Yeah, I'm going to make, I guess, more of a functional argument than anything else. You know, this is actually one of the options on this betting pros market is looking at position, first position drafted by team. And by my count, there are 17 different teams that have a cornerback in its top 3 in terms of shortest odds, right? So, like, just looking at how, you know, cornerback hungry the market is and how many teams are considered somewhat likely to be drafting a cornerback with their first overall pick. I mean, you start doing the math on who those top guys are out there and you get to Nate Wiggins' name pretty quickly. So, you know, kind of backdooring my way into it. But I think there are going to be a variety of different teams where they're going to be looking at his name real hard when they're on the clock.
Yeah, and let's absolutely go to that market, Eric, that you talked position of first pick by team. I think there's some really interesting names here. I took a couple of the chalk picks here. I like targeting the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, unless they back out of the first round, then we might have some more question marks. But the Chiefs, you can still get right now them to draft a wide receiver at even. I think that's a great bet. And also, they just shipped off Snead as well to the Titans. So I think they could also be going after a cornerback late in the first round if it's not a wide receiver. If a lot of those receivers we've talked about, the Texas boys, Worthy and Mitchell, are off the board, maybe they pivot to a cornerback. And at plus 650 right now, I like that as well. So I like kind of hedging myself there. I think I'll go heavy on the wide receiver at even, and then also cornerback at plus 650. Eric, your thoughts on the Chiefs and potentially hedging some markets there, and any other bets you like in these markets?
I like the cornerback call out more than I like the wide receiver first pick for the Chiefs. A lot of that has to do with just the price tag overall, right? You know, the reality of being the Super Bowl winning team and picking last is that you don't have a whole lot of glaring holes in your roster, and you can kind of just go best available player. So for me, I'm probably looking at like 3, 3.5 to 1 odds before I feel good about placing a card with the Chiefs. So, you know, getting cornerback at plus 650 is a nice price tag in my mind.
Okay. Anything else you like for a specific team to target a specific position?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I really like Jacksonville's first overall or first draft selection to be a wide receiver at plus 360. You know, we're talking about a Jacksonville team that's kind of hodgepodge together their wide receiver core over the last few years. Haven't really had anybody that they've developed in-house. So I like them to either draft from that position that they're in or potentially even move up, right? Like, I'm hearing some rumblings that we might see them trade up and go after Brian Thomas from LSU. So getting that at plus 360 would certainly be interesting for me. And then I talked about this a little bit earlier with Roma Dunze specifically. If you want to take a little bit of a less risky approach to that, looking at the Chargers to go wide receiver at their first pick, plus 165, right? There are a number of ways that Marvin Harrison can be there. Everyone is in love with Malik Nabers' speed. Obviously, I like the price on Roma Dunze. You know, you look at how the Chargers have really bottomed out their wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Feels like they would want to address that. So getting that at plus money makes a lot of sense to me. And lastly, this is the chalkiest pick that I have on my entire card. The Titans are absolutely taking an offensive lineman with their first overall pick. Most likely it's Joe Alt. If it's not, there are a few other guys that you can make a case for, but you know, looking at them to go O-line at minus 250 with their first overall pick is the last wager I have on my card.
That's a heavy juice. That's a heavy juice drink for my guy, Eric. He's going to be waking up with a hangover just from the sugar. Hoov, anything for you in this market we haven't touched on?
I haven't really looked at this too much. I'm kind of, there's a few teams I'm curious to look at. I want to look at your Steelers first. Got that one.
Yeah, Steelers are really, really hard.
I like that.
Yeah, plus 650, not bad. 7 to 1, like that's kind of where you would be hedging if you want to go with the Steelers. I will say, man, I think if Olu somehow keeps falling down the board, they could go up and get him. They love their Penn State guys, so I could see them going after an offensive lineman, which wouldn't give you the best value.
J.C. Latham, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Go to the Raiders. I'm curious about that one. If you got that one,
it's somewhere here. What do you like in the Raiders specifically, position wise? Because they're one, I think, especially with the newer regime, I don't know what the Raiders are going to do at all. Offensive linemen, like this is one I don't think the books really know what they're going to do either. They could see him going OL or cornerback or potentially even a QB.
Yeah, plus 200. That's ideal if you're a Terry and Arnold guy. That's ideal right there at plus 200. You probably make some money off of that bet right there. I'm also curious about Broncos because we don't really know what they're all going to do.
I think their quarterback odds are nerfed. I think they're minus money for a quarterback. Yeah, minus even right now, best odds for a quarterback. So where do you have the Broncos going in Hoove's 3.0 mock draft, if you don't mind me asking?
So this is the Jared Verse pick. I don't think you can talk me into Michael Penix justified at 12.
Sure.
I just don't know if that's really worth it. But at plus 300, Jared Verse being the second edge rusher off the board, this, in my opinion, would be right after Dallas Turner, after the Falcons move back and draft the first edge rusher, then Broncos running the card and they put in Jared Verse. And so that's just a big Sean Payton staple. Like you're talking about Cameron Jordan earlier.
Yeah.
That would be his next Cameron Jordan, because you know that you got to fix that defense. The defense wasn't terrible, but there's still so many holes you got to fill with that team. And Sean Payton knows that the way that he handled the Russell Wilson situation or how the organization handled it, free agents aren't going to want to go there. So you're going to have to find studs, and Jared Verse is a stud.
Okay. Last couple I want to throw out for you here, just some longer shots on my card. Again, these are probably gonna be like a tenth of a unit that I'm gonna put out there. Ravens to draft a wide receiver first, plus 700. They're in that position to potentially get themselves a Mitchell or a Worthy. I just don't think they can roll out this wide receiver core, man. They don't have a whole lot, man. Nelson Agholor is their wide receiver three. Bateman seems like he is not worthy of that first round pick a couple years ago. And behind that, it's guys I've never even heard their name of. And I think together, you and I, guys, I think we could probably name 300 NFL wide receivers. Like, that's where they're looking at with their depth. So I think they could potentially grab a wide receiver. I like them at plus 700. And as Eric mentioned earlier, that he could see old Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys getting a little wild. I could as well, man. The Cowboys right now to draft a wide receiver are 11-1 first. And I think that's a little mispriced, if I'm going to be honest with you guys. And if you want to go with the real long shot, like Eric said, 75-1 to draft a running back first. I think the Cowboys have a lot of needs here. And I think they could go a lot of different directions, boys. And I think a potential wide receiver, like, we didn't think they were going to get CeeDee Lamb a couple years ago, and they went out and got him. And right now, like, they have the ghost of Brandon Cooks running around there. They got Jake Ferguson. They need more targets.
I got one. If you want to talk about the Cowboys, let's talk about, let's make some money. We didn't think it was going to happen a few years ago, when the Packers ended up picking Jordan Love at the end of the first round. There's a lot of rumors going around, like, is Dak Prescott going to get this extension? Is he going to get paid? Could this be the Michael Penix pick? Could they be looking for a strong-arm quarterback on a cheap contract to sling the ball to CeeDee Lamb? So at plus 7,000, could Jerry Jones be looking at another quarterback? Like, I don't know. I like that a lot. If you really want to be crazy and you want to throw $5 down and really walk away feeling good, 10 if you're feeling with a few drinks in, 7,000. Let's go.
70-1 for a quarterback to go off the board there. Eric, any thoughts here on the Dallas Cowboys? That's your land. That's your homeland.
Yeah, my homeland, but don't you dare try to assign me to the Dallas Cowboys fan base. Look, they can go a number of different ways, right? So, like, kind of like I said off the top, anytime that there is not, a clear, discernible favorite, I tend to err on the side of the better price, right? So, cornerback is kind of interesting to me. Quarterback, I like the price tag. I don't know if they would do that to Dak in year one, but then wide receiver is a good number. Running back's a good number.
They didn't re-sign.
Honestly, I might go all the way down to safety at that 1,100, right? Or 11,000, I should say.
I think if you want to take some long shots on a team's first position drafted, it seems like the Dallas Cowboys, regardless of what position you believe that is, I think it might be wide receiver. Eric's liking a potential shot on a safety or running back. Hooves signaling quarterback at 70-1. Dallas Cowboys might be the team to do that. I think that's something we need to keep in mind very much, folks. So let's go ahead. I think that's pretty much everything from a betting market. We might have some more articles coming out on the site. We already have a couple different NFL draft betting guys out there now. Hoove's going to have his mock draft 3.0 coming out in the next week as well. But guys, let's go ahead. Let's round out the show here with a little Would You Rather.
Risky business or FFC, are you that hard on the rise? We're chilling with a cold one, even bold one, or hold back. Would you rather? This ain't no simple matter.
All right, we're back with Would You Rather. We got Kyle Scott joining us. Kyle, how are you doing, man, after all the NFL draft betting? You ready to play a little game of Would You Rather?
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm ready to lighten the mood a little bit.
Yeah, we are deep into some draft talk. So what do we have from a Would You Rather perspective? And also, can you give us a little hindsight on what the game is and how we play?
Yeah, for sure. Would You Rather is one of the easier games we play, I think, on the show. I just really kind of ask a question, and it can be about football or life or movies and TV. current events, what have you. And you guys just have to tell me which of the things you would rather do. You can play along at home. It's super simple, and it's really fun. So let's just jump into it.
Yeah, let us know in the chat what you guys think. What would you rather do? Kyle, start us off, man.
Yeah, so speaking of current events, holidays, you could say, would you rather watch Pineapple Express, Dazed and Confused, or Fast Times at Ridgemont High on 420? And now that's coming up on a Saturday, so that's going to be pretty good movie day. Honestly, you could triple feature these if you really, really wanted to. If you want to get a little crazy, don't want to get up off the couch. But, you know, I mean, Hoove, this feels like a you question. I'm going to send it over to you. What are you thinking?
I'm going to shock everyone here. I think people are going to think I'm going to go with Pineapple Express here. But I'm actually going to go old school, and I'm going Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Man, that was one of the movies that my dad showed me when he was worried about me smoking pot in high school, and it was just eye-opening experience, man. Every guy knows the scene I'm talking about. Eye-opening experience. Hallelujah. So Fast Times at Ridgemont High, that's my pick. Easy peasy. Throw it back old school. But I like the Animal Houses. I like the old school comedies too. So like that's just like right up my alley too. Just like typical stoner vibes.
So I'm definitely with Hoove here. I think you have to throw it back to one of these older movies. Dazed and Confused growing up, one of my favorite movies. I've probably seen it 150, 200 times at this point. So I think if I'm going with a movie here for 420 for this Saturday, Kyle, I think I'm going with Hoove. I think I'm going Fast Times because I just recently exposed myself to Fast Times. I had a double DVD feature growing up. It was side A, it was Dazed and Confused. Side B was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I always fell asleep before I got too deep into Fast Times at Ridgemont High and before I met Jeff Spicoli and the fucking boys, man. So yeah, sign me up, bro. We got Nicolas Cage making a debut in that one as well. So fucking send me in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, man. I love that movie. Great flick.
The reason why my dad showed me it too is because like we'd always watch the Santa Claus movies and the stepdad is obviously in it younger. And he's like, yeah, I just can't see him in that role after seeing him in Fast Times. And I'm like, the stepdad, the therapist? And he's like, all right, yeah, I just got to show it to you in glimpses. I can't show you the whole thing, but yeah,
That guy steals the movie too. For like, Jeff Spicoli, I think, steals the movie, but the older brother is a really fucking, like, you root for that guy. Eric, what are your thoughts here on the cast of Fast Times at Ridgemont High and your pick here for a 420 feature?
Yeah, so definitely keeping the old school vibes, but I'll go on the other side. I'll go Dazed and Confused. I think what this really boils down to is like name the movie that you first watched when you first started to partake. And sure, for me, that was Dazed and Confused. And also, I just think Pineapple Express is a little heavy-handed, right? Like we get what you're trying to do. You can back off a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a like, you know, they're running, they're gunning. Like, it's not the easiest of stoner movies, yeah, if I'm being honest. Like, these other ones have a pretty chill vibe, Kyle, and I feel like Pineapple Express, they're running from, what, 45 minutes in, and it gets a little edgy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a high-pressure situation for them pretty much the whole movie, I'd say. Which, like you say, maybe not the best vibe for 420. Personally, I am going to side with Eric. I'm going to go with Dazed and Confused. I think it's a more rewatchable movie than Fast Times.
Really?
And Pineapple Express. Yeah. The cast is better. I feel like I know every single person in that movie.
Yeah.
Personally. But as Eric said, it's kind of just the movie you first saw when you started. But for me, that would be like Planet Earth.
For me, that's like Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke, or Wiz Khalifa High School.
Mac and Devin Go to High School. Yeah. I almost put Mac and Devin go to high school on this, but I knew that wouldn't get much love.
That's the best, man. Those are top two right there.
And there's,
think what else?
I think I love Dazed and Confused because it's such a quotable movie, but it also, like, in a way, like, you know everything that's going to happen. And man, does Waterston just have so many killer lines throughout that movie? Like, absolutely, like, legend for what he did in that film. So, all right. Well, Kyle, what else do we have here on the dock for Would You Rather?
Yeah. So we're going to throw back kind of to football. Would you rather grab a beer with Adam Gase or Daniel Jones? So, Seth, why don't you give us a little context and then give us your opinion?
Yeah, so Daniel Jones, boys, he did the Adam Gase here in a recent interview. Let's listen in. Just take away, look at this man, look into his soul, look into his eyes. Let me know your thoughts.
I guess kind of just start off with the obvious. How are you doing in your rehab and where do things stand?
Rehab's going well. Making good progress, coming along. Obviously spent a lot of time with the trainers here and shrink staff. So, feel like things are going well I'm coming along well.
Hey, Daniel. And so then just to build on that, have they given you a target date of when you think you can be fully cleared?
Look at his eyes.
I mean, the plan is to be ready to go by training camp. So, that's what I'm shooting for and feel good about being ready.
Yes, kind of just start off with the.
I feel like Daniel Jones, boys, I feel like he's seen some things. This, whether it was the injury was way worse than we thought, or the fact that the Giants might be moving on. Who's making the face right now? I don't know, man. I think I'm grabbing a beer with. I'll still go with Danny Dimes. I think Danny Dimes, like, he's got a story to tell, but he's seen some things, boys. He's hurting right now. Those were hurt eyes. Those were hurt eyes.
That's tough. I don't know. Like, all right. I don't know if I want to talk about it, but whatever. Like, how far along in his rehab is he? Is he, like, still, is he back to?
No, I think he's projected to be ready by the start of the regular season.
Yeah. Because I just remember when Aaron Rodgers, like, when he came back after halftime and he did that interview and he looked higher than shit. Like, we knew that he was on painkillers. So it's like, you don't know, like, if Daniel Jones was, like, training and he got shot up with something, you know, like a painkiller. Like,
how do you think about normal, that? I didn't like think very, about that.
Like, very normal procedure that could happen like that, that just kind of, like, ruins his image. Because some people, like, just jump to coke. It's like, come on, guys. Like, these are athletes. Like, they're not coke heads, you know. This isn't the 1970s NFL anymore. Come on. So it's like there's real reasons why they might look like that, you know, other than like recreational.
I didn't even know. Like, Eric, you're a little bit wiser than me. Have you ever seen like a person like this in real life? Like, I've only seen it in NFL interviews, and it makes no sense. Like, why these people's eyes just like, and we've seen Daniel Jones interviewed a million times too. It's wild.
I feel like you're trying to implicate me in this line of questioning. And I just have to say, if you're a cop, you have to tell me. I guess in the public eye, I've only seen this in the NFL context. You know, there are people that I've seen that may or may not have been partaking in something that Hoove was alluding to that had a pretty similar vibe.
I never even thought about that. I don't know why I never thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to say. I guess the difference between the two, like, we're making an Adam Gase comp. Adam Gase was steady like that, whereas this is the only time we've seen Danny Dimes put on that sort of performance, right? So neither of which I guess I would be particularly keen on grabbing a beer with. It seems like it's a little bit more intense than the type of vibe that I'm trying to chill through. But I guess with Adam Gase being more consistent, I'll go with Gase. You know what you're getting. It feels like Danny Dimes might be heading into a wild card era.
Yeah, Adam Gase could tell you some good war stories for sure too. Kyle, what do you think, man? Look in those eyes. Are you getting a beer with that gentleman or Adam Gase?
You know, the first time I saw this video, I thought it was like an AI, like a deep fake, like a Snapchat face filter type of thing. It just looks like it's pasted on his head, kind of. But no, I would definitely. I mean, this is a one-time thing for him so far. So, I feel like I would take a beer with him. Plus, he's paying, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You don't know where Adam Gase is balling these days. So, good point.
Adam
you might
Gase
be fine.
Will tell you some Peyton Manning stories, though.
That's the only thing. You're right. That's the only thing that I think he would have going for him. 100% there. Kyle, let's move on, though. What else do we have for Would You Rather?
Yeah, so let's go to football for a little bit. This is a football show. Would you rather have the 49ers re-sign Brandon Ayuk in round number one or draft a rookie wide receiver?
They're going to draft Chewbacca. Trade Brandon Ayuk to the Steelers and I'm open.
I
killed Kyle.
I don't think that like this would not be good for I think Brandon Ayuk or Brock Purdy if he left or like the team in general, because I don't think they can get another wide receiver in the first round or this draft that would be as good as Brandon Ayuk where they're positioned at. But it would probably help like Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and McCaffrey and everyone else get a little bit of a boost for fantasy. But I think I'd rather probably just see them re-sign Brandon Ayuk, kind of make amends here. But it's going to be hard, Eric, with that cap situation they have going on, despite Brock Purdy playing for next to nothing right now.
Yeah, I think the answer really lives in trying to understand whose perspective you're answering the question from, right? I think 49er fan would much rather they re-sign Brandon Ayuk and continue on that path, right? Like they've got a pretty clear model that they're trying to execute on, and to their credit, executing on pretty well, right? From a fantasy football perspective, I would love to see Brandon Ayuk get out of town, right? He is one of the highest producing or performing wide receivers in the context of how little he's utilized, right? So you get him into a spot where they're throwing the ball more often, where he can be the focal point of an offense. I think he has tremendous upside. So, I mean, I guess kind of a toss-up. I think most likely what's going to happen is we will see Ayuk return and San Francisco try to run it back with this core of guys.
Hoover, are you on the side that says Brandon Ayuk gets re-signed and that you would like that from a fantasy perspective, or are you like Eric and would rather see him potentially go elsewhere and open up some things that 49ers become a little more predictable and Brandon Ayuk could star as an alpha?
I don't want to do it as a like from a fantasy perspective by any means. As a Niner fan, our Bo McBig Time here at IBT, he dubbed my favorite compliment I've ever gotten. He said, "You're a realistic 49ers fan." So some 49ers fans may hate me for this, but I think I'm more in the favor of drafting a rookie wide receiver and getting draft capital from what you're going to get for Brandon Ayuk. Is like we're seeing it for teams like our biggest rival right now in people's eyes is still the Eagles. And so like you're seeing with the Eagles is they're paying guys like Devonta Smith, they're paying their guys and they're like filling these holes and their sacrifices that you have to make like a Jason Kelce, but you're going to pay a Lane Johnson. And when guys like George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel and Trent Williams and all these guys are injury prone, like we need to start getting some young weapons in here. And if we could trade Brandon Ayuk and replace him immediately with a Ladd McConkey, just putting him right in that role, that would just be insane. It wouldn't be the same thing, but that's where you also know as a Niners fan, like it took us 4 years to get back here, back to the Super Bowl. So if we can get back in two and kind of just filling some holes, taking a year, getting some growth and then really going all in, I'm not against it. Because you know that by the year two, by the time that you're probably back in the Super Bowl, Brandon Ayuk isn't going to be on that roster because you're going to be paying Brock Purdy something. That's my opinion.
Okay. Love it, man. Love it. Well, I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out with us tonight. Kyle, Hoove, Eric, it's been awesome hanging out with all y'all. It's been awesome hanging out with the IBT family tonight as well. Easiest way to support us, if you're new to the channel, please hit that subscribe button. Give this video a thumbs up. You can head over to the website, inbetweenmedia.com. We got a bunch of great articles and columns over there. We also have our new Dynasty Trade Value chart you can check out as well. Get yourself a ticket to draft night out. Come hang out with us in person. in Ohio this summer. Guys, thanks so much. Last thing I want to leave everyone with, I've been giving everyone a weekly challenge, something to do that I think can help both mentally, physically, depending on the week. This one, this week's challenge is put your outdoor furniture or spruce up your outdoor space. Like we did that this weekend, and we got the patio furniture back out. We flipped over the rug to the nice side. We broomed off the patio, and it felt good, man. It felt really good. So, Eric, have you done that yet? Do you have a nice little yard patio area? Because I know Kyle doesn't have one. So, Kyle, sorry that doesn't apply to you, man.
I don't have a nice outdoor space, but I did recently get my shit together in that regard. We had like the overgrown jungle kind of vibe rocking up front, and now nice and trim and tidy. We get like 2 weeks of like flowering weather before everything just gets burnt off by the hot sun. So trying to keep the rose bushes alive, trying to keep the magnolia tree flowering while we still can. So I'm actively in the throes of that challenge.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I got my stuff out already. The only thing I'm lacking is I got to get the dogs pools out, you know, and then everything should be right, good to go. But I don't know if it's nice enough yet. It's been like 70 here in Wisconsin the last few days, but yeah. I don't know if it's pool weather.
Yeah.
Especially from that hose.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting there. I don't know quite about yet. Guys, once again, thanks so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week on Tuesday. I think we're going to do a mock draft. So excited for that. Thank y'all, and keep it in between until next time.